Okay, the question, why do we need God? Well, there are several answers to that, but it's quite obvious most people in this world feel like they do not need God. They don't have a need to call upon Him in prayer. They don't have a need to listen to Him, because let's face it, they're getting by just fine. I mean, we hear that all the time, don't we? We hear people telling, oh, I'm fine without God, and so that's what we do. But let's look at this from the perspective how we should be looking at why we need God. And so we're going to examine a few reasons. All right, when we first come into this world, we are extremely dependent upon others. We're born in, we come into this world naked. I mean, it's a big shock, right? And so we are totally dependent upon others at the beginning. And we need our parents and others, providers, to feed and clean up after us. And I mean, all we do is eat and poop, right? As babies, that's what they do, eat and poop. Well, they get some sleep in, but not when we want them to. But still, that's the way kids are. Even as small children, we sense our need for parental care and protection. Something scares us. Where do we go? Into mommy's arms or daddy's arms, or something like that. So we learn a sense of security from the family unit. Unfortunately, a lot of people in this world don't have that family unit to rely upon. And so, as we get older, it's common to believe that we no longer need anyone or anything. When we get those teenage years, all of a sudden, mommy and daddy, they don't do nothing. I mean, they don't know what's going on in this world. And so, and I know everything. I like that little statement that says, kids, get out of the house now while you still know everything. So, that's what you need to do. And I'm sure a lot of parents probably feel the same way. Get out while you know everything. But anyway, it gets to that point where as we grow and develop, we learn to do things for ourselves. That's what our parents taught us from a very young age. Think for yourself, realize your consequences, learn a skill if you need to so you can make money. And so it's a developmental process that we all go through. And everybody does to a degree. Now, you might look at some people and say, well, they never grew up. And that's because they behave like children sometimes. But starting in our adolescence, where many think they no longer need their parents, especially as teenagers, they find out within a few years, and especially after they have children of their own, mommy and daddy were right. There's no doubt about that. It comes to that. I remember when that happened for me, I was like 25 years old, and all of a sudden, it just like someone hit me too before, whoa, they were right. So, I mean, it just struck me all of a sudden. So others continuing throughout adulthood, where many think they can take care of themselves. And let's face it, I'm the one who goes into work, I punch the clock in, I do my job, I go home. So basically, it's all me. And that's the way the world is taught to think. Do for yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you. Or if somehow you can weasel your way through, yeah, somebody else will do stuff for you. But anyway, most people get to that point where do it yourself, and you really can't rely upon anybody else. And of course, mankind is not as self-sufficient as many would like to believe. They think we can do things just fine. Well, look at our society right now. Is everything fine? No. There's a lot of problems in this world, and it's getting worse. And the longer they try and do things without God, it's going to continue to get worse. But yet many people think in their mind, oh yeah, we don't need God. We can govern ourselves. We can do this or that by ourselves. We don't need God. Well, the thing is, we're extremely dependent on many things despite our denials. We are dependent, and we see just in this during this pandemic how fragile our economy is. We see how fragile our social structure is, the family structure. Everything that we've grown up thinking is just fine, all of a sudden, we're not sure anymore. We don't know this anymore. I mean, we thought we had everything figured out. Now we got to figure out a whole new set of parameters. And so, we were denying ourselves thinking that it would be any different. And then, of course, we'd have some people saying, well, this may happen if this happens in our country, and we may shift this way. Oh, no, that'll never happen. I guarantee you, every one of us has said that. And now what do you say? Yeah, it did happen. All right, so for the rest of our lesson, assuming that one believes in God, we're going to begin with three simple yet significant reasons why we need God in our lives. And we're going to start with the fact that God is the creator. We know that. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of mankind, both male and female. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right, Genesis 5:2, he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. All right. Even in the womb, God has a role giving us life. He has a purpose for us established from the womb, before we're even born. We read this in Jeremiah 1:5, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before he was even born, God already had plans for Jeremiah. And when you think about it, he has plans for each and every person on this earth. He does have plans for us. Now, through the choices we make, we can either fulfill those plans, which he expects of us, or we can just turn our back on God and not fulfill those plans. All right, so he made us and not we ourselves. That, if you remember, that comes from Psalms 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A lot of people like to think, well, I'm a self-made individual. I became who I am. I didn't need mommy and daddy telling me what to do. I figured it all out on my own. How many people do you know have said stuff like that? We've all met people like that. And guess what? We just have to come to realize someday, God is the one who made us and not we ourselves. See, God as our creator knows us better than we know ourselves. I had a sermon like this last year. The fact that God did make us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows me better than I know myself. And so, even as the manufacturer knows its product better than anyone else, whoever makes it, I mean, they should have a good knowledge of it, because if something happens, we want them to fix it, right? That's why they have factory authorized repairmen, right? Because they've been trained what to do. All right. The manufacturer of us, God, he knows our weaknesses, and he also knows our strengths. And what he does is he gives us an instruction manual, which we have. It's the Bible. He gives us an instruction manual how to operate this thing properly. And so, yeah, sometimes when something that you don't think something's working right, what do? You tinker with it and you play with it. Next thing you know, you're calling the repairman because you done messed it up so bad you don't know how to get it fixed. I'm sure Al never had that problem with his with his engines, but still, you know what I'm talking about. All right, so he knows what we're capable of, and that's the thing about it. God knows what each and every one of us are capable of. He's given us the tools to be able to do it, and have we used those tools? A lot of times we have not. And a lot of times we've just allowed our weakness to overwhelm us to the point where we don't recognize our own strength, we don't recognize our own worth, and we just really don't accomplish anything. At least not what God thinks we have the potential to do. All right, so God is the best source to find the answers to such questions like, where did I come from? And why am I here? And where am I going? And how should I live? You know, think about those questions. Well, those belong in some sort of college psychology class. And I mean, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? I mean, that's what they were asking to 2,500, 3,000 years ago in Greece when the philosophers were there. What is the purpose of man? And stuff like that. Trying to figure out the purpose of man without God is a losing situation because you cannot do it. You have no purpose if you don't believe in God. You have no purpose in life if you don't recognize that God is there. And so when we do believe God is here, well, God put us here for a reason, right? I came from God. All of us did. Yes, we were born. We went through the potato patch or onion patch or the stork brought us, however you want to describe it. We came in this world through the natural process, like everybody else does. But we were taught, we learned that we really originate with God. And so why am I here? We'll read throughout the Bible, it tells us our purpose here is to glorify God, to serve God, to seek God, to fear God and keep His commandment. That's why I am here. That is my purpose in life. That is everybody's purpose in life. Most people don't get it, but that's what we are. Now, where am I going? I know there's only one or two places to go, heaven or hell. Now, how am I going to get there? Well, that answers the question, how should I live? I should live like I believe there's this place like hell, a place like heaven. And I want to go to heaven, so I need to live that way. So God gives us those things. We need God because as our creator, He is the only reliable tech support to help us make sense and use of our lives. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but it's true. He's the one that has the answers. He's given us the answers already in His Word. And whatever question you might come up with in life, God has already answered it. This book is so universal, it applies to everybody. But most people just remain blind to the instruction manual. Can you imagine a repairman never consulting a book that a technical book or guide how to fix something? Can you imagine somebody being hired on to be a appliance repairman? Never read a book. They just go in, they tinker with this, tinker with that, and maybe they might find something broken and replace the part. We wouldn't like that. We wouldn't want anybody like that coming to our house. I mean, we had a problem with the freezer. It kept losing water, and we didn't know what happened. So they sent one repairman out. He just said, well, he just put the blow driver on it and got all the ice off. It worked for a day. Then it was the same problem, three times. So they sent a different repairman out there. And he got looking. He said, well, I see the problem. So he had the part brought in, and it works. So you need somebody who knows what they're doing. Man doesn't know what he's doing. That's the honest truth. Now, he may have a lot of knowledge. He may know how the engine operates in a car. He may know all the scientific details about certain physics projects like you might find in a nuclear reactor, as Ray did. But still, to make sense of what this life is about, we have to rely upon God. So another reason we need God is because He is our Redeemer. See, unfortunately, all have made a mess of their lives. And that's true. Everybody did. You know, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And some more than others. But all are in need of a major correction. And we know that. And Romans 3:9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Everybody sins. So we're no better than they are. But God offers Himself as our Redeemer. And that's a great thing. When we recognize that, we can do something about it. Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. And that's true. When we put our trust in God, another way of saying trust in God, when we put our faith in God, we're not going to be condemned. That's assuming that we keep our faith in God. I mean, that's true. Some people might have faith in God today, but next week, next year, they may not have faith in God. So they have to be mindful of that. So him being a redeemer makes it possible for us to start anew. All right, Psalm 103, beginning verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, here's a lot of things. God will do great things for us if we let him. See, this he did by sending his son Jesus. He sent his son, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And then so we need God because as our Redeemer, we have the opportunity to be forgiven of sins and to start our lives anew. We start over. When we obey the gospel, our sins are washed away. We start over. And then we go along, we boo-boo. We make a mistake. We commit sin. What do? We have the luxury of saying, I sin. God forgive me. And guess what? He will forgive us. All right. Now, a third reason we need God is because he is our provider. He provides for us. Now, wait a minute. I go to work. I make the money. I come home. I pay the bills. I put the roof over our head. I buy the clothes that we wear. I buy the food that we eat. So I'm the provider of this house. See, that's the way most of the world thinks, right? Most of the world feels that way. But for the Christian, it's not what I have done, it's what he's done for me. See, sometimes the physical life itself. And I know it would be very possible for us to think, well, wait a minute. If God's children are so important, he provides and takes care of them, why do they get cancer? Why do they have disease? Why do they have heart problems? Why do they have this happen to them or that happen to them? And so there might be a little bit of sarcasm in such thinking, but what they're thinking only in the physical realm. What about the spiritual realm? That's where we really need to be focused as Christians. So our physical life, yes, things happen. I've known preachers who have died and sometimes horrible deaths because of the fact that they were preachers. Some killed by their own family members, some killed by someone who was disgruntled with them. One person driving along home after a gospel meeting and crashed the car, started on fire, and he burned alive. I mean, it's just horrible things. And these were good Christians. So why does that happen? Well, Ecclesiastes gives us the answer. But still, in Acts 17:28, Paul was saying, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In a sense, all mankind are the children of God. We are his children. And that's how he wants us to look at it. When we see someone who is in need, God says, this is one of my children, take care of them. We have a responsibility and obligation when we have the ability to help someone else. And we should do it. If we have it, we should do it. Now, if we don't take care of them, it's like they say in 1 John chapter 4, I think about verse 17, what good or what use is it if you having the world's goods and you see your brother in need, say, go, be warm, be filled, and do nothing for them. What have you done for them? You've done nothing for them. And you should have. All right. So of that which sustains our physical life, he provides for that. Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. This is what God does. If you don't believe that, go to the book of Ecclesiastes. The preacher talks about all things. This is good that man is able to eat and drink from the work of his own hands. It is a gift of God. And Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Nature is going to happen. Doesn't matter whether everybody's faithful or not, whether they're unfaithful, nature's still going to happen. And God allows this earth to operate the way He designed it. And man cannot, well, I can't say he cannot mess it up, because we have seen it happen. But the idea that mankind causes climate change through emissions and stuff like that, really, it's just not possible. So I'm one of those naysayers, I guess you call it. All right. He is a provider of spiritual strength that we need. And that's what He does. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And that's what He does. He grants us to enjoy the riches of His glory, to know that we are Christians and there is a place called heaven awaiting for us. As long as we are faithful, then that gives us strength in our spirit. And through His Spirit, He informs us of this stuff. And that's what He's talking about, through His Spirit in the inner man. Somehow inside, I know what God said is true. And so that gives me hope. That gives me something to look forward to. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, just to say that another way, I've said this many times. Whatever we can picture in our mind about what heaven is going to be like, just imagine how great and fantastic it's going to be. You start thinking, okay, some great movie production, the music crescendos and the lights come out and it's just beautiful. And whatever we can think of heaven with our frail human minds, God says it's going to be exceedingly abundantly above all that. Now, the fact of just thinking about heaven gives us chills down our back. Gives us goosebumps sometimes when you think about how great it's going to be. And then to think it's going to be better than that. Man, we'll be jumping out of our skin, won't we? Okay, but He's going to do that. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's true. This is where he gets into getting ready, because we've got a battle facing us. We have the principalities and powers that we're dealing with, the elements of Satan, and we need to put on the full armor of God. So that's where he's going with that. He has promised to meet our physical needs. God said, if you will obey me, I will bless you. I will take care of you. You know, Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And we know that's true. God is going to provide for our physical needs. He made that promise to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 28 spends the first 13 verses saying, if you will obey me, if you will follow and observe my commandments, I will bless you. I will make your crops abundant. I will make your flocks procreate. I mean, you'll have more wealth than you can imagine if you'll be faithful to me. But then he gives a warning the rest of the chapter, saying, but if you don't, then I'm going to make it hard on you. So he's ready to meet our physical needs. You go through the book of Psalms several times. The writer mentions the fact that, well, this I've seen, the children of the righteous do not go hungry. You know, as bad as things may be in our world, somehow the children of the righteous are still fed. They still have clothing. They still have a place to sleep. And so, yes, your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and He will provide it for you. See, if we put Him and His righteousness first in our lives, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God will take care of us. Why? Well, probably because we become responsible individuals. And we go out and get a job and we work. And we do what we need to do to provide for our family. And we take on that responsibility, and we understand responsibility, and we do that. As children of God, that's what we're supposed to do. Any child of God that doesn't go out and work and is lazy, he has a word for that. Yeah, he tells them what's going to happen. They probably won't go to heaven. Why? Because they're supposed to eat. He said in Thessalonians, if anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. And that's the way God pointed out. He gives us the ability with our hands to do something. We should be doing that. All right. And he promised to meet our spiritual needs as well. Everything we need, he's already promised for us, right? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so, we see, in summary, those who reject any need for God go through life with no true knowledge of self or purpose in life. They might come up and say, what's the meaning of life? They may quote some Zen master from some sort of Confucius age era, and oh, the meaning of life is... But the problem is, without God, there is no true purpose in life. Everybody decides for themselves what's important. There is no structure. They have no way to atone for or to truly correct the many mistakes they make. Sometimes, well, some have to go to prison to atone for their mistakes. Some have to pay the price in some way to make up for what they've done wrong. But as far as getting their soul cleansed, they have no way of doing that because they don't know how. And they have their lives devoid of the fullness of God's providential care. That's what's lacking in their lives. They don't have God. And so, you can tell they don't have God by the way they talk, by the profanities they talk, by the way they talk about other people. They don't have God in their lives by the way they live. Just live for the moment. Live for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what they go through. See, how much better to confess our need for God and look to Him? Oh, so much better. Yeah, we need to look to Him for wisdom and guidance in making the best of our time here on earth. We're only here a short time, remember. Just a few days, as the way He describes it. Yes, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have this or that. But guess what? If we still acknowledge our God and learn to serve Him, our time on earth isn't going to be that bad. We turn to Him for forgiveness and renewal when we mess up our lives through sin. And we do that. We look for His providential care and spiritual strength to live the truly abundant life. Jesus said, I came to bring life and life more abundantly. It can be a fulfilling life if we have God in it and we serve God. It can be a fulfilling life because when we serve God, we're treating other people much better, right? People who don't have God don't know how to treat other people, only to get what they can out of it. Well, I'll treat you nice and then expect something back from you. Christians don't look at it that way. Christians are supposed to treat people nice whether they get anything out of it or not. So yes, His providential care. And a lot of times, we we've said this before, we can't tell you how it works. We just believe that it does. We believe in God's providence, how God brought us here for this very moment, at this purpose and time. I mean, we're here for a reason. The quicker we realize what we're supposed to be doing, the better we'll be because we'll be doing what God wants us to do. So we could say more things to illustrate our need for God, but now we'll just let these suffice. God is our creator. God is our redeemer. God is our provider. And that is why we need God. So don't ever get this idea we don't need God. No, that's the wrong thing to do. We do need God. So consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.